I wanted to spark something in them and let them know it's never too late, no matter what. I mean, because I had had Brandon. I had Brandon and I wasn't married. Chelsea, me and her dad was together, but we weren't married. I married Monty, ended up having Kobe, went through a divorce, a bad marriage, and just dealing with some things, went through taking care of my mom, lost my mom. Life just kept spiraling, and I just made up in my mind, and I said, you know what? That didn't stop. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad the past was, no matter what you went through, you still got an opportunity to make change, because you wake up every day, mm-hmm. and it is that thing, the opportunity. Take the opportunity, and I think sometimes we don't take the opportunity.
Listen, y'all, listen, listen, listen. This is going to be a life-changing episode. Robin Hooks, okay? Remember that name. We are going to hear from her in this episode, and it was so good that I just had to break it up into a few different episodes, because I want everyone to be able to digest this wisdom that she is giving us, right? Think about your life. How many opportunities have you let pass you by? How many times did you find yourself going through the ups and downs of life and just feeling like you couldn't get out of the cycle or you didn't know what to do next? She is going to give us the keys today. So again, I want to thank you, my friend, for joining me, your girl, Melinda Rackley, the Inspiration Engineer, here on the Rise and Grow podcast. Buckle up your seat belts, open your ears, grab your paper, grab your pencils, and get ready to learn and grow from Miss Robin Hooks, this dynamic woman sharing her phenomenal story of overcoming life's unexpected obstacles. She reset her entire life with one decision. Keep listening to find out how.
So, like, what do you remember? Where you were in your life when you decided to go back to school?
Yeah, my mom had just passed away, and the business was slow. And I was just sitting there one day, and I was like, "This can't be the end for me." Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if the business is gonna pick up again. What am I gonna do? And then I think I was burnt out too. I didn't want to completely give it up, but I was tired of it, because I felt like I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And then I always thought about going back to school, but Regina at the church, she'd say, "Miss Robin, you could do it." And I was like, "Girl, I don't know." I said, "I want to go to school, Regina." She was like, "Miss Robin, you can do it." And I said, "We'll see." And I would always say it. And then after my mom passed, and I was sitting in the shop one day, Regina dropped me a card by the shop, and she said, it was a thank you card. And she was saying, "Thank you for people like you for helping me to be the person that I am, the influence from you." Basically, it said like that. Mm-hmm. And she was just saying how she really appreciated me pouring into her, and it helped her in her life. And so I was like, I was just sitting there, and I just say, "I'm gonna do it."
How old were you?
I was 46. Mm-hmm. And I say, "I am going to do it." And it was right before, it was around Christmas. So their winter break was getting ready to end, and spring term was coming. So I had to go take the test for placement, and I had to do something else in order to start the spring. And so I started the applications and everything, and I said, let me go on and do it, because if I keep sitting here, I'm not going to do it. And I jumped up and I went to Kent campus, and I did the placement test, and I did all the information and got set up. And they say, "You'll start for spring." The only thing I had to do remediation for math. And I knew that because I hated math. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had to do. I started with the college courses with language and everything. And I was like, "Ooh, I'm going to do it."
Now, how long had you had your hair salon before you went back to school?
Oh, I'm thinking it was 2000. Because I was finna say 2000. So I'm thinking it was 2000, because I left 2020. Hmm. So So I was there at least 20 years.
20 years. Wow.
I was there 20 years, yes. Wow. And I left December 31st, 2020. That's when I moved out to Ceylon.
What was that day like?
Moving out? Uh-huh. Well, it was, you know what? I thought I was going to be upset, Melinda, but I was good. I just wanted to make sure I was out. I wasn't sad about it. I felt accomplished because I had been there. I had did it. I was just ready to move on. My niece said to me, "So, you think you're going to drive back up here and think that you still work here and forget that you don't work here anymore?" And I was like, "No."
Right. No.
No. And she was like, "Yes, you will. You will probably be driving up." He was like, "Oh, I don't even work there no more." And I was like, "No, sweetie. I'm not. I was ready."
When you pass by it, do you have any memories now? Or it's just kind of like, oh, in another life, that was mine.
Because you know what? I rarely pass by.
Oh.
I rarely pass by. And it's a guy who went to hair school with me is the one who's in the salon now. And then come to find out, my cousin said, "Oh, you gave one of the neighborhood boys. He lived in the neighborhood who has the salon now. He's a nice guy." I do miss some times. I think about all the good times I had up there. I think about the rough times. But it was better times than it was bad. Mm-hmm. It was good times. The clientele that I had, I think because my clientele started to fade down,
mm-hmm.
I think that was one of the reasons. I'm not going to say that I would still be there if I was still as busy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't have. But I knew I just wanted to do something different eventually. Because standing behind the chair was just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was demanding. And then I look back at the years at the salon and the time that I did hair, the time that it took away from my children and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it then, but I see it now as I've gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
I see that time that I spent with them, that could have been spent with them, but if I didn't work, I didn't make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted them to have things, so I was like, well, I gotta work. But at the time, that's what I was looking at. But as you get older and you sit back,
mm-hmm.
you look at the time you miss spending with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at, they went places, they went on field trips, you know, and a lot of times I did do field trips, I volunteered at school, but it was some stuff like maybe the circus and different things, I couldn't go, I paid, my mama went or my sister went with them, but I paid for it, so I felt okay at that time, but now I think about it, I was like, I missed that. Those are memories that I felt like I should have shared with them. So I remember when Kobe decided he wanted to play basketball and football, I decided to tell my clients, you know, we're going to have to adjust the schedule because I need to get him to school, get him to practice. I didn't want nobody taking him and picking him up if I didn't have to. And then on Saturdays, I was going to make his games. And part one of you, their games are on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I made up in my mind. And then when he started playing football with school, it was the same way. I felt like I needed to be present for those moments because I had missed so much. So, you know, when you done miss so much and then you see something you can grab hold to,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was trying to grab hold to those moments to have those memories. And that was something that I did. And so, and I remember Monty used to tell me all the time when we would be preparing to go out of town or go somewhere with the kids. And I'd be like, okay, we're going to leave this time. And then I said, okay, I'm running late because I got to do a client here. And he was like, listen, you be up there with those women and we got to go out of town and you get them all your time and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be thinking, you know, you're not thinking because I'm up here and I'm making some money to take. I'm thinking I'm making money to take on vacation. So we'll have a good vacation. But they're looking at, okay, but you wasting our time. They wasn't looking at that. But that's what I was thinking about. And then I was thinking about the fact that I'm going to be gone. So I'm going to need to have some extra money to put aside. So my mind was wrapped around that. And I think being self-employed was one of those things. That's maybe one of my biggest regrets with being doing hair and how I operated. Mm-hmm. I could have operated better, because everybody that may not happen to. That's just my story. Mm-hmm. So I think I could have operated that better. I can't go back and redo it.
It's gone.
And I just say I'm not living in regret. All I can do is what I do.
Like, I know your mom, but not too, like, intensely or mm-hmm. deeply. Just, like, in passing, for mm-hmm. peanut butter cookies, you know, mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. like that. But where did you learn your work ethic from?
From her and my father. Mm-hmm. My father worked two jobs. He worked for the city, and then he had a night job where he did, like, a janitorial service. Mm-hmm. And my daddy always worked. I mean, he worked... he was off on Wednesdays doing his day job, and then Wednesday evening he would do his night job. He didn't work weekends, but he worked. That's what I knew about him. And I think, too, my dad, as he got older, he realized he worked more than he spent with us, the time he spent with us. So he was grabbing for that time back, mm-hmm. trying to get it back. My mom... She worked. She worked when she wanted to work. But my mom was more of an entrepreneur. If she wasn't, my mama babysat. She used to keep kids. She had her little daycare. She used to keep kids. She would cook. She would do, like, the cookies and peanuts and candy apples. Anywhere my mama could make some money, she was maneuvering to do it. She sold Shackley. She sold Avon. She sold Tupperware. If it was legal, Mandela Hooks. Melinda, I'm serious. And she made us sign up for Mary Kay. Did I say Mary Kay? Because she sold Mary Kay too. She said, you going to sell this, baby? I said, Mama, I am not. You, girl, get this stuff and you going to sell this. We going to make money. I'm going to get me a pink Cadillac. My mama, that's just how she was. She was just determined. She just always did that. And, like, even with her church, if they had something going on, I remember they wanted to burn the mortgage to the church. And they asked every member, I think, for $1,000. And my mama wasn't working. You know, if she did work, she was, you know, she didn't have a great income, but she had enough. But she was determined. My mama got out in front of my shop, sold fish, fried fish, sold it to my clients. Sometimes I used to be so embarrassed. I'd be like, Lord. But everybody like, girl, I need a fish sandwich. I need this, you know. And people would come and she would sell to them. She would just, that was her. Mm-hmm. I remember when the Super Bowl came here, my mama said, Robin, I'm going down here. I'm finna get me some of this money. I said, Mama, what money is you gonna get? So she had to do. She was selling. She said she was gonna sell her peanuts, her candy apples, and I think something happened where they couldn't do it or whatever. But do you know my mama still went down there, and she was at the landing. She did the Super. You know, she enjoyed that time for the Super Bowl. Me, I'm young. I didn't even do it. So when my mom got sick, I kept saying, you know what? My mama have lived a good life. Mm-hmm. She didn't miss out on anything. Her sister told me, she said, you know what? Your mama had no fear. She would just try. She would travel. My mama drove to California. She just was one of those people. If you say, okay, like they say, hey, I need you. I'm going to a wedding. We need to get to California. She said, okay, we'll drive. My mama drove and went with her sister's daughter got sick in Germany, and she needed to go and see her. My mama said, I'll go with you. I said, Mama, you going to Germany? She said, why not? That's my sister. She went and got her passport, and I don't even have a passport yet. My mama went and got her passport, Melinda. She went to Germany with my auntie to see about her daughter. My mama just was, that's just who she was. And I think a lot of that, I know a lot of that came from her. That drive, that work ethics, that entrepreneurship. Her and my dad just, that was something that we saw as an example.
So you said that your mom lived a good life. What does a good life look like for you?
I think a good life for me is, one, living life without regret. Mm-hmm. And being fearful, you know, doing what I want to do. Because I think so many times we hold back and not do things that we really, really want to do because of mm-hmm. fear. Mm-hmm. Because if I had let fear overtake me, I wouldn't have my college degree right now. And that would have been something I said I could have did, I should have did. Now, it's more stuff that I do need to do, but that was something that was an accomplishment for me from where I came, especially as far as school. I think, but the reason why I went back was I always felt like I wasn't smart enough. And I just felt like only smart people went to college. Because when I went to school in high school, my senior year, I got off track. And it was hard coming back. And I didn't march. And I didn't go back for the summer because I was embarrassed. So I was like, I'm just not going to do it. But I said, you know what? I got to get my GED. Mm-hmm. And when I went and got my GED, and Soda Delta said, you ain't going. Everybody else around me was going to college. And I was like, I got a GED. I'm not going. I'm not going back. And shame will keep you from that. Mm-hmm. And I think not worrying about what other people think about your decisions. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that my mama didn't care. You could voice your opinion. You could say how you felt. If it was something that she wanted to do, Maudella was going to do it. You know, and that's something that I think about all the time. I think that you have to make your own decisions and your own choices because you live with them. Mm-hmm. You go to bed at night with them. You wake up with them. You know, and people will say, well, I wanted to do it, but so-and-so said it wasn't best. Or you worried about what people think. And I am getting to the point where I'm like, you know what? This is my life. Mm-hmm. I want to be happy in it. You know, I love the Lord and I'm saved. And I have made that decision. I want to go back with him. And I want to live in heaven. But one thing, too, I want to live happy on this earth also. Mm-hmm. Because people, it has to be some type of balance. We got to be able to be happy here. I don't think he meant for us to be miserable mm-hmm. here and just only happy in heaven. No. And I think sometimes that's what we miss. And I just want to be happy mm-hmm. and do what I want to do. I'm not going to allow nobody to take that away from me. Even my children, the decisions that they make, I can't allow that to take that away from me.
When you were younger, let's say before you decided to do college or even, mm-hmm. you know, get the hair salon, what were some things that got in the way of your happiness? Let's say in your early 30s, late 20s, early 30s.
I think I felt like maybe bad decisions with relationships because I felt like I was off with that. And I think settling because I feel like I am one of those people I like to help. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a blessing and a curse kind of in a way because sometimes I pity people mm-hmm. or I want to help them more and I'll take on more than what I need to take on. Mm-hmm. My boundaries, we'll put it like that. Mm-hmm. That has always been an issue. That was something that got in my way because it slowed me down. The boundaries, not knowing, okay, no, you can't fix that. No, mm-hmm. that's not your job. And it's not only with a romantic relationship with my clients. I had to learn how to separate mm-hmm. because for some reason that chair made everybody talk. They sat in the chair, they talked, they told me their problems, and you know, and I'm talking to them and not realizing I'm taking all this in and it's weighing on me mm-hmm. and I'm trying to fix it, I'm trying to help, and I couldn't do all that mm-hmm. but I tried, and then a lot of times I forgot about me mm-hmm. so I'm pushed back and those things happen and I'm like I can't do that anymore mm-hmm. because that was something that I believe in those years in my 20s and my 30s. I think the biggest thing was my boundaries because you look back over your life and you look at situations and you think, gosh, because I think sometimes you can't see it when you're in it, but when you move out of it and you go back and you look at it, it almost play like a movie in your mind. And then you see all them lights, them warning signs. You be like, Now, where that come from? I don't remember seeing that. Well, Lord, I guess that was. Because you did show me. But I said, that's not, that light green. You know, that's not.
Yeah, we try to make every light green when we want something. Oh, it's all green light.
And I believe, and I look back and I'm like, wow. Because that's even with my marriage. I remember sitting on the steps at the house one day. And I was saying, God, where did this go? What did I do? What did this go wrong? How did I get into this? And God is so awesome. He just, and I think he's a comedian sometimes too.
You know? Sure.
I mean, Melinda, it was like the sky opened up and the movie just started playing. And he just began to show me these things. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what that was. Yeah. And not in the middle from the first day that I met them. Mm-hmm. And I just saw myself, you know, and I think I started. I think we painted differently. Like you say, that's a green light. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I thought it was a green light. I think I was thinking, oh, maybe I could help. Mm-hmm. I could fix it.
But you said something, and I think a lot of women, I think, especially, I talk to a lot of women each day, and I think it's a common thing, like, not feeling like you are enough.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, getting a GED,
mm-hmm.
or that one feeling can translate in so many ways in our life.
Mm. You know? Across the board, because it don't just stop there.
It don't stop.
It just spreads. Mm-hmm. It just spread, and you get to that point. And when I talk to people and I talk about it, or they ask me, and they be like, wow, you know, that is awesome. You did. Wow. And sometimes I'll be like, I just didn't feel that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, something wrong with me?
No, I think, you know, I think it's like we have a very common thread, something in common. I think Dwight will pick at me. You just like the other Melinda. Because I believe in doing it. You don't have to feel ready. You don't have to feel good. Just mm-hmm. do it. You know? And I think that's, it's hard for a lot of people mm-hmm. to move past not feeling enough mm-hmm. to do that thing. Yeah. And then once you do that thing, you realize I was enough this whole
time. The whole time.
What was
it? Melinda, when I went to college... And I remember being at that school, and we were in class, and I think I was talking to one of the students, because it seemed like I was always the oldest one in the class at one point. And I remember asking about help with the math or something. So the guy was like, I can help you. You know, I was like, wow, you're so smart. He was like, I said, I only thought only smart people went to college. He was like, where have you been? He said, no. Half of the people cheat in college. And I was like, are you serious? It like opened up a whole new world to me. And it made me say, really? I wasted all this time thinking I wasn't good enough. I wasn't smart enough. And I could have accomplished this a long time ago. Then I had to shake that off because I had to say, okay, you didn't do it then, Robin.
I'm here now.
Get past that. You're here now. Because, see, that was trying to grab me, too. Yeah. So I had to shake that off and say, okay, all right, I got it. Because I'm just going to be able to tell somebody else, don't wait as long as I did. Or I'll be able to tell them it's never too late.
Yeah.
So I have to tell myself that, okay, and I said, Lord, everything happens for a reason, you know. I'll just move past this. It's a testimony for some reason. I'll be able to share it with somebody else and tell them, hey, I did it. You could do it. I know it's hard. You know, it's not easy, and it wasn't easy, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was truly worth it.
Wow. Y'all, I tell you, I have listened to this interview at least 5 times, and each time I get something else out of it. And I wanted to stop it right there to give you time to digest all of that. You are enough. You're smart enough. You're strong enough. And there's still time. It's never too late. Listen, as we're closing Women History Month on the very last day and the very last hour, I want to remind you that there are still months left in this year. Whenever you listen to this, maybe you're not listening in March of, 2023. Maybe you listen in 2024, 5, 6, 7, whenever you listen, I want you to know that it's never too late. You're smart enough. You are enough. And anything that you can think, you can do. Just get up. Do like Robin did. Get up before you lose that courage. Listen, we still have so much more to share in this dynamic interview, and I'm going to definitely give you the rest of it. But I wanted to stop it here for today and give you time to digest it. And we'll see you right back here on the Rise and Grow podcast with part two of this amazing interview with Miss Robin Hooks, sharing her dynamic story of rising. Just like that phoenix, right? Rising from the ashes. And this story, I mean, this ending is sweet. So stay tuned. We'll have part two here pretty soon. But I want to thank you again for tuning into the Rise and Grow podcast with me, your girl, Melinda Rackley, the inspiration engineer. And please feel free to follow Robin on social media, Robin Hooks. She shares daily inspirational scriptures. I look forward to her photos with scriptures on it. Sometimes it reminds me to read the Bible. she's an amazing woman, and sometimes it just helps to have an example, someone who you can see they've done it. They overcame a bad relationship. They're rising and they're living their best life. So, my friends, remember, the rest of your days are the best of your days. Forget about the past and move forward. I love you for real. Bye, friends.